Nejilo el café. Minu ma dawk il-Maltin u għawċinu mudija li ħakom neħilom il-kappella kontribuzzi u taħħom u li ftit li xejn nafu xkienu jisaf. Neħilom il-kappella. Għaldar borra minna ħati ħeċar xwira pinser bil-kom nil-għakom għal-edizjoni uħra ta' din essenzila interessanti li t-tama neħilom il-kappella. Fil-fat, wara li jitkellimna fit-tul mal-professur Fiorini il-ġimma li għaddiet fuq Malti biex najdu hekk. Najdu l-Malti għax għamel snin. Għawdex bħala prigjonier u kellna reazzjoni interessanti u sabiħa u nittama li fuq dan is-suġġett mandubux ma nerġgħu nitkellmu. Il-banda l-oħra llum se nitkellmu ma' persuna oħra li kważi kważi nistgħu ngħidu li se tkun hi stess il-protagonista tal-programm. Issa tgħidu li kif jista' jkun inti maċ li se jkunu kollha antiki u kollha li m'għandniex ħafna tagħrif dwarhom u li kollha forsi qasbiss konna nisimgħu ħafna bihom jew jekk smajna bihom imma ma nafux eżattament x'għamlu iva. U naħseb li se tagħtuni raġun għaliex għażilt li nitkellem mal-professoressa Anne-Marie Montebello u qed ngħidha bil-Franċiż għaliex hija Franċiża kif qed intaqtaw, imma hija Franċiża minn dawk li ngħidulhom t'oriġini Malti. U għażilt li nitkellem magħha meta forsi se neħħula l-kappell aktar milli għalija personali, aktar għal dak li qiegħed tirrappreżenta. Isu llum mistieden fil-programm tagħna nixtiequkom tikkunsidraw li għandna dak li rrappreżenta lil-mijiet probabbli spiċċaw eluf mbagħad għax tkattru bil-familji ta' Maltin li emigraw lejn l-Alġerija, lejn it-Tuneżija, għal matul medda ta' mhux inqas minn 150 sena, ftit wara li ġew l-Ingliżi Malta u din baqgħet sejra ċertu pass miżjud sa forsi qabel it-tieni gwerra dinjija, u dawn kollha kważi kemm huma ma' 30,000 żgur fl-1962 kellhom jaqtaw ir-rabtiet tagħhom ma' Tunes, ma' l-Alġerija ħafna iktar biex isibu ruħhom fi Franza. Hija avventura, avventura ta' Maltin bħalna, nistgħu ngħidulhom ħutna Maltin u ngħidulhom ħutna f'ħafna sensi, mhux biss għaliex huma kopajżani tagħna, imma għaliex għandhom min jiġi minnhom hawn Malta. Kienu ftit jekk kien hemm li telqu minn Malta biex imorru l-Alġerija jew it-Tuneżija fis-seklu 19-20 li telqu bir-razza u r-radika. Ħafna drabi kienet titlaq koppja, anzi kien jitlaq bħalma jiġri fl-emigrazzjoni dejjem il-ġufnot, ir-raġel biex isib ix-xogħol u mbagħad jara kif jagħmel biex iġib is-sieħba tiegħu. Jara kif jagħmel biex iġib jew jiġi lura jiżżewweġ u jieħu l-mara tiegħu, jew jiġi lura jiġbor il-mara u t-tfal kif isir fl-emigrazzjoni dejjem. Kemm hekk tal-Awstralja, kemm hi tal-Amerika u ħafna postijiet oħra fejn fil-faqar tagħhom f'Malta kienu imorru ta' fuqhom senduqhom u allura kienu jmorru bl-iskop ewlieni ekonomiku biex jaħdmu, biex jaqalgħu l-flus. Kienu jibagħtu l-flus il-familja, kienu jfadlu biex hemmhekk jixtru x'imkien jissettilgħu. Mbagħad tarhom ġejjin jiġbru l-familja minn hawnhekk jew il-mara jew is-sieħba tagħhom minn hawnhekk u jibdew il-familja hemmhekk. Hija xi ħaġa tal-emigranti li bosta drabi ma li l-emigrant jirfes f'pajjiż ġdid mhux dejjem anzi rari jitħallat minnu fih man-nies tal-lokal. Imma l-ewwel ġenerazzjoni ħafna drabi tiġi tiġbor is-sieħeb jew is-sieħba tagħha minn hawnhekk biex tkattar dik li hija ħajja ġdida fil-pajjiż il-ġdid tal-addottazzjoni tiegħu. Interessanti għan nitkellmu wkoll ma' Madame Montebello, hija għallima fil-kulleġġ Oli ta' Pariġi rib is-Sorbonne ħafna li jismu Louis Le Grand, li huwa kulleġġ ta' stoffa, li huwa kulleġġ li jagħti ċertu livell li min jallem fih ħafna drabi irid ikollu wkoll ċerta stoffa. U dina Madame Montebello interessanti wkoll barra li hija wkoll tkun diversi drabi mistiedna biex tagħmel taħdidiet, imma interessanti wkoll għaliex hija membru tal-Kunsill li jmexxi għaqda Maltija Franċiża li jisimha le Cercle Vasali minn huwa mitħla tax-xena Malta Franċiża Franko-Maltija jaf bihom ħafna, hija waħda mill-laqdiet biżlin ħafna li ilha għaddejja mhux ħażin. ġewwa Pariġi u li tagħmel diversi attivitajiet kif se tgħidilna waqt l-intervista. Jiena kelli x-xorti li nimmarka lill-Madam Montebello waqt li kienet qiegħda Malta biex tattendi għal kungress ta' l-immigranti li seħħ ftit ta' ġimgħa ilu biss aħna qed nitkellmu f'April tal-2010 u dan il-kungress ġabar ħafna Maltin emigranti. Interessatni għaliex l-ewwel nett jiena di kuntatt ma' Serkl Vasali li huma nies li forsi mhux kollha ma nafx uħut minnhom, pereżempju l-koppja Camilleri, Joe u Joyce, li nafhom anki Malta qabel ma emigraw, daw ma' emigranti iktar riċenti, imma Montebello hija l-persuna li l-istorja tagħha hija waħda tipika li marret Franza tistudja, marret Franza biex imbagħad ħadmet, marret Franza anki biex iż-żewġet, imma marret Franza fi żmien meta ħafna u ħafna ma baqgħux fl-Afrika ta' fuq minħabba l-kwistjoni tal-indipendenza tal-Alġerija. L-istorja tagħha hija minn Tunes u allura mhijiex eżatt tal-Alġerija, imma il-buznannu tagħha kif se tgħidilna kien telaq minn Malta 170 sena ilu u għalhekk hija interessanti li qed nitkellmu fuq storja daqshekk antika da r-rabta kollha taż-żwieġ, għandha r-rabta kollha tal-familja tagħha, issa se tgħidilna taqta' kurzita kif ġiet u li hi bħala bint li kienet tgħix it-Tuneżija, interessanti li missiera żżewweġ Taljana. Storja komuni oħra li ġrat ħafna fl-Afrika ta' fuq, pereżempju għandna l-istorja ta' Edwidge Fenech, forsi hawn min jitbissem dal-ħin u jgħid Charles x'se jsemmi hawnhekk liema akkademja għamlet Edwidge Fenech. Rovet Edwidge Fenech hija popolari ħafna mal-telespettaturi tagħna li segwu l-programmi tat-Taljan, speċjalment sa ċertu żmien ilu meta kienet għadha aktar żagħżugħa għaliex dina twildet fl-1948 u għalhekk illum qabżet is-60 sena hija pensjonanta, imma Edwidge Fenech u għada trida ħafna minn jafal minn qed nalludi din hija attriċi famuża li deret iktar films li biex ngħidlek jilabu mal-bordura tas-soft porn li kienet faċilment tispiċċa bl-ħwejjeġ fuq l-iskrin tal-ċinema, li daħlet f'ħafna kummedji minn dawn l-Italjani ma jaqfux jipproduċu għandhom ċertu bl-Ingliżi jgħidu la nek għalihom xi kultant daħquk imma xi drabi bikkuk bid-daħ li jkun forsi banali tagħhom imma hija tradizzjoni kbira tal-ċinema Taljana. U narawhom, jirriklamawhom, kull milieti kun hemm xi ħaġa ġdida, kull sajf kun hemm xi ħaġa ġdida, jħobbu jdaħlu l-mużika tal-moment u għalhekk fi anfisha għandha ċerta valur mhux biss ċinematiku imma anki kronoloġija tal-ħajja Taljana u ovvjament fejn daħlet Edwidge Fenech kien hemm ukoll l-attrazzjoni tan-nudiżmu. U Edwidge Fenech min jiftakara tagħmel rappreżentazzjoni verament stupenda tal-poplu Malti. Għaliex qed tgħidu hekk? Għaliex Edwidge Fenech stess tammetti jiena rajt artiklu milux ħafna dwar li hija tiftaħar bid-dixxendenza Maltija, imma aktar u aktar dal-aħħar fil-programm li der fuq il-kanali Italjani li jismu Verissimo hija ġiet intervistata u qalet li missiera Fenech kien Malti. Kienu jgħixu bona fejn hija twildet l-Alġerija u omma kienet Taljana. U għalhekk hija l-istorja ta' Madame Montebello, ovvjament li għamlet karriera f'linja differenti. Imma Edwidge Fenech hija oħra mir-rappreżentanti tagħna il-Maltin li ħafna drabi ngħidu li ħadd ma kien għamilha l-karriera tiegħu fiċ-ċinema tneħħi ftit irġiel Maltin. Għanna l-oristik il-kopp li wasal fuq l-iskrin ta' Hollywood u ġvera u ovvjament għanna oħrajn marufin li u għet antik iktar Joseph Kalleja bil-rabat li għamel isem u għanna u koll xuħut l-emmulaw li l-partijiet tagħhom mhumiex prinċipali għax imbagħad għanna ħafna atturi ta' żmienna li deru f'diversi films taċ-ċinema mis-snin 60 law mindu Malta bdiet tintuża bħala post fejn tiġbed il-films. Imma it-tnej li semmejt jiena Joseph Kalleja u Oreste Kirkop dawna ma ġibdux il-films tagħhom f'Malta imma marru apposta barra u l-kuntatt tagħhom kien għal raġunijiet oħra. Wieħed għaliex taq jidħol Hollywood u lieħor għaliex daħal bil-kant liriku tiegħu. Imma Edwidge Fenech hija l-ewwel mara nistgħu ngħidu li Maltija li għamlet isem u inselmula minna unek u naħseb konna neħula il-kappella l-kemmi tara stramba li neħula l-kappell bistu ġvera meta jitnaħi kollox fuq l-iskrin tas-sinema ma apparti ċajt hija persuna li wieħed jista' ukoll jgħid li hija Maltija l-ewwel Maltija li għamlet il-fama tagħha fid-dinja taċ-ċinema. Induru issa lej il-professoressa Montebello, il-professoressa Montebello apparti li tallem il-letteratura franċiża lill-studenti franċiżi, aċċettat li titkellem magħna wkoll b'mod ġentili ħafna bl-Ingliż ħalli kulħadd ikun jista' jsegwi biex titkellem dwar l-istorja tagħha, l-istorja tal-familja tagħha, l-istorja ta' kif ħassita meta kien hemm il-kwistjonijiet bejn Franza u l-Alġerija. Għaliex hija storja abbastanza riċenti, hija f'dak iż-żmien ovvjament kienet għadha daqsxejn ta' tfajla. Tajjeb ukoll li wieħed isegwi magħha l-istorja ta' kif timxi s-sistema edukattiva Franċiża. Kemm l-Ingliż jingħata importanza fit-tagħlim fl-iskejjel flimkien ma' lingwi oħra li wieħed jista' jagħżel, Ġermaniż, Spanjol, imma l-Ingliż jażluh fil-maġġor parti. Hija impressjoni li forsi rridu nikkorreġu llum. Titkellem ukoll b'mod istruwit imma apert ħafna wkoll fuq kifi tara l-kwistjoni kollha tal-Maltin li waslu fi Franza, mhux dejjem bidejn beraħ imma lanqas bl-istampa li xi kultant awturi u riċerkaturi barranin jiktbu fuq il-Maltin li marru Franza u li ma ġewx stmati ħafna. Ma jfissirx li naqqas mill-verità li kitbu r-riċerkaturi barranin u anki Maltin dwar l-istampa kollha li tagħti Montebello f'dan il-programm illum. Fakritni ukoll ħafna f'intervista li għamilna u li għal et San Fason mal-professur Henry Frendo li huwa autorità kif tafu fuq is-suġġett ta' l-immigrazzjoni b'mod speċjali fil-Mediterran u b'mod iktar speċjali fl-Afrika ta' fuq, kif konna tkellimna u kwota anki xogħlijiet bħal ta' dimek li dawn urew ukoll fiż-żmien ta' taqlib, fiż-żmien ta' ħsieb ta' indipendenza. Fi ħsieb ta' rispett lejn Malta bħala nazzjon kienu qegħdin iħossu dak li jħossu l-Maltin. U hi b'mod ċar għal xi ħadd li huwa remot ħadd tgħidilna ċar u tont kif kienu jħossuha, kif kienu jaħsbuha dwar Malta meta Malta ħadet l-indipendenza tagħha, meta Malta bdiet mixja bħala stat ieħor fid-dinja mhux iktar l-arċipelgu Malti kif tgħidha imma Malta bħala pajjiż. U fl-aħħar nett hi titkellem ukoll fuq kwistjoni li l-altaqgħet miegħi ma nistgħux naħarbuha, il-kwistjoni ta' dak li aħna ħafna drabi bqajna niftakru għax għaddewulna mis-sirijietna fuq il-Franċiżi meta kien hawn Bonaparti. U titkellem tajjeb ħafna. Mhux se ngħid x'inhi tgħidi, x'inhi l-opinjoni tagħha, għax ovvjament se tisimgħu l-programm u l-intervista hija kollha kemm hi bl-Ingliż. Għalhekk nieħu gost nistidinkom biex tkunu tistgħu. Is-segwu din l-intervista mhux tas-soltu u mill-ġdid ngħidilkom din l-intervista mhux biex inneħħu l-kappell lil Madame Montebello li hija fianfisa wkoll hija rappreżentanza tajba ta' dak li hu Malti, ta' nisel Malti, ta' oriġini Maltija, imma għaliex hi tirrappreżenta lil Malti emigrant li mar Tunis, li mar l-Alġerija u li llum qed jagħti ġieħ kbir lil Malta krittu kbir. L-Maltin bil-prezenza, bil-xol, bil-kontribut li huwa jagħti fil-pajjiż ta' Franza. Franza wara kollox hija waħda mill-pajjiżi ewlenin tal-Ewropa, waħda mill-fundaturi ewlenin tal-Unjoni Ewropea u hija sallum plejer ewlieni fil-politika, l-ekonomija tal-Ewropa. U għalhekk m'aħniex nitkellmu fuq xi pajjiż li l-Maltin marru hemm u għamlu isem għaliex ma rajtix hemm, imma għaliex hemm irnexxielhom jagħmlu isem. Meta kkumbattow biċ-ċaqliq kollu tagħhom mill-eruq tagħhom l-ewwel f'Malta u mbagħad fl-Afrika ta' fuq u xorta waħda waslu biex għamlu wisem u wisem serju u wisem tajjeb kif tafu tkellimna anki mal-professoressa De Pasquale f'dan il-programm dwar xuħud li waslu anki sal-livell distint u għoli u rari ta' l-Akkademja Franċiża bħalma kien Fernan Grek. Qabel ma nidħlu għall-intervista ma' Madame Anne-Marie Montebello nixtieq li insemmalkom passoltu ftit versi dwar l-ispont tas-suġġett li ħanamlu llum u mbagħad minn hemm ngħaddu għall-intervista.
Daqskemm Malta jqrib l-Ewropa, daqstant ieħor iqrib l-Afrika. Fil-fatt, ġrajjietna torbotna ħafna maż-żewġ kontinenti minħabba li mimlija f'qawwiet li ġew mill-Lvant. Spiss permezz ta' qrubitna mal-Afrika ta' fuq jew mit-Tramuntana minħabba qrubitna li jisqallija. Meta fl-1800 l-Ingliżi ddeċidew li jibqgħu Malta, kienet aktarx l-ewwel darba li pajjiż mhux Mediterranju beda jmexxi l-Gżejjer. Madankollu meta fl-ewwel 20 ta' snin naqsu l-opportunitajiet tax-xogħol u nħass il-ġuħ, il-Maltin li ma setgħux jelbu din is-sitwazzjoni iddeċidew bil-gżuż li jmorru lejn l-eqre part u dik kienet l-Alġerija u t-Tuneżija li aktar tard għaddew taħt il-Franċiżi. Dawn il-Maltin ħadmu bisħieħ f'dawn il-kolonji u l-maġġoranza twaħdu mal-popolazzjoni Arbija fil-livell aktar komuni bil-faċilità tal-ilsien u x-xogħlijiet li għamlu u li kienu jixxiebħu. Madankollu, waqt li kienu jitqisu bħala pjenwar mill-Franċiżi, xorta laqtuha min-nies tal-lokal wara l-indipendenza ta' dawn il-pajjiżi ħabta ta' 50 sen ilu. Minħabba f'hekk illum huma ċittadini Franċiżi u jgħixu fi Franza. Din il-komunità Maltija kellha wkoll il-ħassiba tagħha bħal Ropa, Grek, Timek u oħrajn Riptana. Dawn mhux biss ħarsu lejn Malta bħala l-pajjiż tal-oriġini imma għamlu passi ta' ġgant fiċ-ċirku kulturali Franċiż u swew ta' dawl nebbieħi lill-eluf bħalhom li ppopolaw diversi bliet Franċiżi fosthom l-aktar Marsilja u Pariġi. Fi żmienna skoprew il-Gżejjer Maltin ifittxu għeruhom.
U hekk wara dik l-introduzzjoni ġenerika ħafna, niġu biex nitkellmu ma' Madam il-Professoressa Anne-Marie Montebello. Difatt fi bidu tal-programm illum għandna l-pjaċir li magħna għandna l-Sinjura Anne-Marie Montebello qed ngħidha b'dan il-mod Franċiż għaliex hija Maltija d'oriġini imma hija tgħix Franza u sensiru nafuha ħafna iktar għal xija wkoll fis-serk vassalli li hija għaqda fi Franza li tgħin ħafna r-relazzjonijiet bejn Malta u Franza. Bienvenue à notre programme. On préfère peut-être parler en anglais pour les auditeurs qui comprennent plus l'anglais. Welcome to our studios, Madame Montebello. Can you tell us something about yourself? You come from Malta, but you were born not in Malta, and now you live in France.
I was born in Tunisia, and I'm of Maltese descent. My great-grandfather, Giuseppe Montebello, was born in Kirkup. In 1820, the son of Antonio Montebello and Maddalena Schwereb. And I don't know when he arrived in Tunisia, but he married in 1846. Maria Magri, in the church of the Medinat of Tunis, where lived the foreigners, in the lower part of the Medina, which was called Le Quartier Franc, the Franc Quarter, in the church Sainte Croix, which had been built in the 17th century. My great-grandfather in Kirkup, my grandfather in La Goulette, which is another town. Many, many Maltese lived. It's at the entrance of the harbour of Tunis. And my father was born in Hammamlif, in the suburbs of Tunis. It's a very, very old town, which already existed at the time of the Romans. And I was born in Hammamlif too. Then, after the independence, I went to France to study, but my parents remained in Tunisia, and I live in France where I teach literature, French literature, of course. It was a special situation, that of the Maltese people, because in 1923, the French government, who had been in Tunisia since 1881, gave full citizenship to the Maltese people. Of course, it was for the political balance with Italy, who was rather powerful and who had a big community in Italy. In Tunisia, yes. Mm. But this full citizenship, and we can say that Maltese people didn't have full British citizenship, but they got, in 1923, full French citizenship. My father didn't take it for lots of reasons, because it was after the First World War and he didn't take it, but his brothers did. And I became French with another law, and I became French, and I was born French. So I think that because Maltese people were very, very poor, they didn't have their own schools. They didn't have their own hospitals like Italians had.
In Tunisia.
In Tunisia, of course. Most of the ones that came in the 19th century were illiterate and very poor. although people don't like it to be said.
Isn't it true?
They'd like to think, and I can understand that, that we're all lawyers and doctors.
Yes. But poverty is not something...
Shameful! I agree with you. Most of them were literate. But since primary schools, at least, became free in 1882, as soon as Tunisia became French, it was a protectorate, but the conditions were more or less those of a colony, the Maltese jumped into French...
Invested in their children's education,
yes.
In French schools.
And I must say that they rather succeeded. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because they were hardworking, that's maybe not a myth. They wanted their children to succeed and... And now, if you think of the French society, there are lots of Maltese who are members of parliament, university teachers, and
all kinds of professional jobs, business people.
Yes, yes.
Even singers and dancers, I find.
Yes.
And musicians, because they come to Malta from time to time from France.
And media people, yes.
And media people as well.
Yes, that's true.
So that is a success story with hard work.
With hard work, and many had very difficult periods. What amazed me in the convention last week...
That was held in Malta.
That was held in Malta, in this wonderful room of the Palace des Grands Maîtres. It's so beautiful. With the Pérez d'Alecchio paintings. Ah, so beautiful. People don't speak about their difficulties, the way they arrived in the United States. A lady told me her father arrived in San Francisco in 1951, and she arrived with her mother and maybe her brothers and sisters in 1952. She didn't tell me how difficult it was to go so far away to look for job. I said, he already had work. No, he said, no, he had to look for it. But I think that many, many situations were very difficult. In the 19th century, most Maltese families were very, very poor. They belonged to the poorest part.
And that's why they left Malta in the first place.
And that's why they left
Malta.
Because
they had no livelihood here.
No. But there's a kind of dignity. People don't like to speak about that. No. Because
in the long run, today's children of these emigrants turned out to be very proud of their past as well.
Yes, that's true.
Which is something, that's why I called it a success story, because now you are proud of what your ancestors did to arrive where you arrived.
No, it's not, I'm not proud because I didn't do it for them. No, I'm not proud, but I like to know where I come from. I'd like to tell you a line of Victor Hugo. It is, mais je sais d'où je viens, si j'ignore où je vais. I know where I come from, although I ignore where I'm going to, you see? And I think it's very important to know where you come from.
Yes,
and religious. Not be ashamed of, because there's also a tendency to say, where are you coming from? And I come from where I come from. I'm not proud. I just know it.
Do you ever feel that you would have preferred your ancestors had remained here instead of now being in France? Because being in France is something also prestigious. You are a French citizen, which is something beautiful as well. In Europe, it has a glorious past. Would you feel, though, that your feeling for your origins struggle with your feelings for where you live now?
If I had this impression, it would be a very new one. Because in my family, there was no nostalgia expressed.
For their
origins.
My
father was third generation.
True.
No nostalgia expressed for remaining a Maltese. They knew they came from there, and the same in my Italian family. My mother was Italian.
No nostalgia for Italy in that case.
They left, and they were not to go back.
It was a new chapter.
It was a new chapter. I think that if they left Malta, it is because they weren't happy in Malta.
Of course.
I don't know for which reasons exactly, but they must have been unhappy to leave. So many.
One, the economy
one could have left because he liked adventure, but most of them...
But those few.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I didn't feel any nostalgia. But my father never came to Malta. The only point is, when I come to Malta, I just regret I don't speak Maltese, because I don't have the relationship with Malta I have with Italy since I speak Italian.
And you don't have an opportunity to learn Maltese in your childhood, because you were brought up in Tunisia,
and
right?
And because my grandparents died before I was born.
That makes also
but
a difference.
But if my grandparents had been...
alive,
yes,
they might have transferred some
probably.
Maltese.
Probably, because my father spoke Maltese.
There you are. And he was third generation.
And he was third generation.
And still spoke Maltese.
Yes, he spoke Maltese. Yes. And it was a Maltese where you couldn't find one English word, even one.
It was more Semitic, more Arabic based.
More Arabic and Italian.
And Italian, of course.
Not one English word.
Coming to the languages, because you mentioned the congress that was held in Malta. I understand from what you told me before we started this interview that the working language during the congress this year in 2010 was English and Maltese only. Whereas before you had other options with interpretation. How did that handicap people who did not come from English-speaking countries like you?
It was not a handicap for me, but it was a handicap for the people of my association in Paris. Because when we knew people wouldn't speak French, for instance, our president, Sauveur Kakia, you say?
Kakia.
But we say Kakia, say, I won't come. I can't speak Maltese. My English is too poor. What shall I go there? And lots of people said, but they are going to speak English. Or Maltese, my Maltese is an old one. They laugh at me. They laugh at me because our Maltese is not their Maltese.
Of course.
Even if we feel, deeply feel it's a true Maltese.
It's the origin, eh?
Yes. But they said, my Maltese is not their Maltese. I know it because I've already been to Malta. And the people don't speak our Maltese. I don't speak English. Or my English is very poor. So, I won't go. Two Maltese-born people, Joseph and Josephine, Joe and Joyce Camilleri, who belong to our association and who partly live in Malta.
I know Joe.
You know them.
They speak Maltese because Joe left Malta when he was already an adult.
Their mothers are still in Malta, so they speak Maltese.
For them it was easy.
Yeah.
But what would you recommend for another congress of this type? That there will be again the chance for speakers of different languages to communicate in their own language?
Of course, because our community is a very old. Most Maltese from France left Malta in the 19th century, most of them.
That's right. That's
150 years or more. I know there are other communities, for instance, in Italy, in Greece, and these people don't come because they would have to speak English, and English is not their language.
So you would recommend that there will be this chance of opening it for all languages, but obviously it will cost a little more with the interpretations.
A little more. I think that even in our association, we would have found people to translate, like Joe. He would have been ready, probably for free, because he likes his country, and he likes French people to love his country. Lots of people spoke Maltese, or a mixture of Maltese and English.
I do hope that through this program, at least, the recommendation will arrive in the best ears possible.
I hope so.
Madame Anne-Marie Montebello, Franċiża tan-nisel Malti, li twildet u kienet tgħix f'Tuneżija qabel ma fis-snin 60 marret tieħu l-edukazzjoni tagħha sa l-Università Franza qed irrakkuntana l-esperjenza tal-familja kollha tagħha u ta' kif huma jħarsu lejn Malta u l-Malti dik il-mixja kbira li hemm sa ma waslu fejn huma. Konklu semgħu neħilhom il-kafè.
Because as a French woman today,
you
speak English and you communicate perfectly in English. The perception of the Maltese is that the French people do not speak English. How did you learn it?
I learned English in a very simple way. I went to lycée.
Secondary school.
I was in Tunis. It was a French secondary school in Tunis, Rue de Russie. I took English as first foreign language.
That was possible.
Yes, I don't know if there was another foreign language, because in France you have to learn two foreign languages. Most people learn English. For instance, for my children, I took German, first foreign language, and English as a second, because I thought it's much easier to find the opportunity to learn English. So they started with German, and after 2 years, they took English.
And the majority first, take English, most probably.
The majority take English, yes.
And this is all over France.
Yes, yes. And I mean, French schools
Tunis
in French country.
Of the French system.
So I took English when I was 11. I had the opportunity to take Italian, Spanish, or German as a second foreign language Because I liked foreign languages, I took the furthest from my culture. So I took German as a second language. And then when I was 20, I started going to Italy. And I love Italy. And I learned it, I read it, I speak it. But as for English, I had English when I was 11.
We're talking about the 1960s.
The
right?
1960s,
so
yes.
In the 1960s in France, English was offered in all secondary schools.
Yes.
This is an equal opportunity
yes.
for everybody to
yes.
learn.
And then I went on learning English. And when I had my French degree at university, I could take a foreign language as a subject. And I took English. And after that, I had the opportunity with my French degree to have part of the English degree. So, a complete English degree, but I was more than 30 at that time. So I took l'iconoclasme, which is painting and the denial of the image in 17th century English for my diploma. And then I went on and I read English a lot, and I've been twice in the United States. I go to England sometimes. Being born in Tunisia, hearing lots of people speaking different languages, speaking Italian with my grandparents from my mother's
side,
speaking Arabic outside, French at home, learning languages. I don't say it's easy, but I think it's easier for me.
Yes, and your Maltese part in you, yeah. like us, makes you another speaker of languages. I mean, we are easily picking up languages, because in Malta there were many different cultures with different languages, and it was never
That's
difficult
true.
For the Maltese to pick up these languages. So we are polyglots as well.
And I come from a world where everybody laughed at everybody. You had jokes. French people had jokes about Sicilians and Maltese, I don't know, but probably Arabs. We had jokes about everybody. Italians from Palermo had jokes about the Italian from Messina
exactly.
or Trapani. And you had jokes about Jews, and the Jews, I suppose, had jokes about
everybody else.
And you had jokes about the Italian Jews and about the Arabic Jews and so on.
You were born and brought up in Tunisia.
Yeah.
What about your childhood, about your country? It's not your origins, but it is your own personal origin. So Tunisia has a special place in your heart as well, I imagine.
Oh, I must say, I'm from Tunisia. I don't feel from Italia, from Malta. I feel I'm French, and I'm French from Tunisia. And I have a very deep relationship to Tunisia, where I still go. We sold my parents' house 15 years ago.
So your parents, when they died in Tunisia.
My father died in Tunisia, and I have a very, very deep relationship to Tunisia. For my children, for instance, Malta is something very remote. But I brought them to Tunisia when they were very small. And I won't say that to all people coming from Tunisia, but many don't say it. But we have a very, very deep relationship. And my relationship to Malta goes through Tunisia. You can't separate my Maltese origin. I was born, and my parents and my grandparents were born in Tunisia.
In Tunisia. And there's something else which you might wish to comment upon. The fact that Tunisia is also so close to Malta,
yes.
not only geographically, but we practically speak the same language.
That's true.
And we came out of the Arabic stock. Do you view this in a way that, after all, Tunisia and Malta are also so close in so many ways? I mean, you speak Arabic as well. And you find so many words are common to Maltese.
Yes. Yes and no. My mother, who was not Maltese, said, a Maltese is a person, is an Arab who eats pork. That was what my mother said.
Okay.
But I think that there is a very strong Maltese individuality. I don't belong to this individuality. I'm French. I teach French literature. Yeah. But I feel a very, very deep individuality. Of course, the Maltese are very close to Tunisians because of the language, because of the way, the morals, the protect girls from
Outsiders.
The dangers and so on. That's very close to the way
okay.
Tunisians...
Overprotection, practically.
Overprotection over women.
But isn't that also in Italy a bit, in the south especially?
Probably, but I didn't
Sicily
know
and
it.
Calabria would be the same.
Probably, yeah. but I don't know it, because I always go only to Rome and to Florence, where my friends live. Yes, you're probably right, but I don't know.
It's a Mediterranean thing,
yes,
I think, because
yes.
It's also in Greece, for example. And,
yes,
and
you're
Spain.
Right. And the family structure is very strong. But the fact they were Christians, Catholics, it was very important for them, because it was their personality, their individuality, identity in front of Tunisians.
May I just ask you, you grew up and studied both in Tunisia and
yes.
in France in the times when a lot of countries were getting their independence. Tunisia is one of them, Algiers next door is one
yes.
of them. Malta itself was in the 60s mm-hmm. getting its independence. But there is a feeling that the people who emigrated from Malta to the north of Africa, like Laurent Ropin, mm-hmm. Fernand Gregg, they all wrote and kept in contact with the people in Malta who were writing about the idea of becoming an independent nation. Did this ever influence you? Because you studied, you passed through a passage, like myself, when all small countries were getting their independence from bigger powers, like England and France. Do you have any experience of feelings in Tunisia or when you went to France of this sense of independence? Because Tunisia at the time was getting its independence, Algeria and Malta, after all, were all getting their independence. Were there any patches in your younger life when this idea of independence was very strong?
Yes, I deeply felt the Tunisian independence, because for us of European descent, it was an earthquake, because many people had to leave and many didn't want to. Many wanted to leave, but many didn't want to. So the independence of Tunisia is something we felt very, very strongly. Many were Francophile, many adapted them to France, leaving the country where they were born, where their parents were born, where they had their identity. It was very, very hard. The independence of Malta was something else for us. It was independence from England, a country which they didn't feel very strongly the moment they left, because I speak for my family, in the 1840s, the British power was not felt so strongly as it was one century later. The independence of Malta was seen with sympathy, but I'm not sure it was seen with emotion. They were happy to see that Malta was a country.
Madame Anne-Marie Montebello, Franġiża ta' nisel Malti, li twildet u kienet tgħix it-Tuneżija qabel ma fis-snin 60 marret tieħu l-edukazzjoni tagħha sa l-Università Franza, qed tirrakkuntana l-esperjenza tal-familja kollha tagħha u ta' kif huma jħarsu lejn Malta u l-Malti dik il-mixja kbira li hemm sa ma waslu fejn huma lu. Nkomplu isimgħu neħilhom il-kappell.
Sicilians are very jealous, because the fate of Malta have been the fate of Sicily for thousands of years, and now in 1964 Malta became independent, and they're still under
Sicily is still part of Italy.
Part of Italy.
Same with Corsica.
And the same with Corsica. They looked at the independence of Malta first, because Malta had not been independent for
never.
Never. And so they looked at it in this independence with a lot of sympathy. Maybe it's a kind of pride, you see? But it was remote for them. Yes. They didn't feel, oh, Malta must have its independence the same way Tunisia must have its independence. Because the independence of Tunisia was something they felt like a kind of tragedy for some families, because they had to leave their roots. And the independence of Malta was something sympathetic, which was
Yes, but you were indifferent to it, you know.
Not really indifferent. I suppose I had a kind of pride. My father had a kind of pride.
Of course.
Because of Malta getting its independence.
Yes, became a state.
Yes. It doesn't mean he wanted to go to Malta, but he...
Well, happy that his origins made it.
He made it. That's true. It was recognized as a country, not just an archipel
exactly.
in the middle of the Mediterranean, nobody knows it, and so on.
True.
I'm not sure everybody thinks the way
no,
I think.
No, not necessarily.
Be careful.
Yes, true.
That's my opinion. That's the way I feel it because yes. of my own history.
And in your own particular case. Because
in my own particular case.
You also
case.
Happen to have Italian roots. So
yes,
in a way,
also.
You are different from others who were just Maltese, for example.
Yes, that's true.
And what about going to France? When you went to France to study,
yes,
but then you remained in France, and a lot of Maltese Tunisians had also to go to France, even if they don't like it, because of independence of that country.
Yeah.
And in France, obviously, I don't think the French were opening their doors and throwing flowers when so many people from north of Africa had to come as immigrants in their own country.
Probably.
I think that
Probably.
Was a difficult time as well.
I left Tunisia in 1962. I was 15. Because my family had not left Tunisia after the independence, because my father was at that time British subject. I left because the year before, there had been political turmoil,
Dennis.
And the school was closed half the time, and my parents, who were, like many Maltese families, very keen to have their children educated, sent me to France, where my sister already lived, and I was in a boarding school. Probably some French people were not very happy to see all these people from abroad, many of them who had never been to France.
To take their jobs.
Probably, probably, but I never felt it. That's not my experience. Because at that time, the fact of taking the job didn't
matter mean, much.
No,
yeah,
because c'était les trente glorieuses, I don't know the way you say it in English, les trente glorieuses, these 30 years from the end of the war to the 1975, when the crise du pétrole came, there was work, and they built houses. And
it was like a boom.
Yes, there was a boom. And the French people didn't feel these people were taking their jobs.
Their jobs.
Of course, they probably laughed at their accents. They probably laughed at their ways of living. Probably, probably.
True.
But I was at school. Then I went to university in Montpellier. And the
you
university
mixed.
World is something very open. I married a Frenchman. I remained in France. I lived in Paris. My children were born in France. I never felt, je sais pas, mal vu. Probably some people were, but...
You mixed well.
I mixed well.
You say that you married a French
yeah.
person, obviously, but you still carry Montebello.
I still carry Montebello because my father, I've heard once, a man of Italian descent who was born in the eastern part of France, and he said that having an Italian name, I forgot which one it was, made him discriminated. I never felt that. I've always, you see, in my family, we knew where we came from. We knew we were of Italian descent,
exactly.
18th century Italian descent. And I've never been ashamed of what I am. I think that comes from my parents. Why?
It's a mature
no,
approach.
No, you can be ashamed of what you do. What would be you be ashamed of what you are? But in my family, we never felt ashamed of what we were. We were Maltese of Italian descent. I'm French of Italian and Maltese descent.
And that's it.
And so I kept my name. That's true. So when, for the school where my children went, of course I had my husband's name.
Yes.
I wouldn't say, I'm Montebello, my children.
Yes.
But,
yes.
but at work, in the school where I teach, I've never changed my name.
You kept your
never.
Name. Another thing, you are in a very interesting organization in Paris called Cercle Vassalis.
Yes.
What is it exactly? What are your aims in this society?
It is, like all French Maltese associations, it deals with conviviality, I don't know the English word, with staying in together, having meals. But also we are very much interested in the relationship between Malta and France.
France.
For instance, we like very much to invite artists or intellectuals. For instance, we had a meal recently where we invited Elgar Paul Magro, who teaches at INALCO. INALCO is the school of Western languages to which Malta belongs. It's very wide, Western languages, langues orientales. And we had another young Maltese who is Carl Fiorini, who's a musician.
He was on this program too some time ago.
He's
he lives
very
in Paris now. He lives
yes,
in Paris.
He lives in Paris. There was a new ambassador of Malta,
Marc
Luciani, who speaks French, and his wife speaks French very well. And we like to know what was in Malta. For instance, we had a lecture about Caravaggio in Malta, about a painter and engraver called Well, who visited Malta in the late 18th century and who gave a récit de voyage. I don't know the English expression.
The diary of the trip.
Yes,
the voyage.
With engravings, yes. In the late, yes, 18th century.
We had quite a few of them, and some are French.
He spent 2 months in Malta. Unfortunately, his diary is still available at the Netherlandish Institute. You can find it online on the site of the BNF, the French National Library. We had a day organized by our former president, who was Patrice Sangui, on Malta's economy at the University of Dauphine, which is specialized in economy. So we try in our modest way to be a kind of bridge between France and Malta. And we had a kind of debate at the Maltese embassy recently about Bonaparte in Malta.
Bonaparte and Malta have a past, obviously, and many of the Maltese still think and remember. Remember means a lot in history. It is not because they lived it, but because it was passed from generation to generation. What are your feelings as a French person connected so much to Malta about the Maltese feeling of what the French did in Malta? When you ask the average Maltese person, at least up to my generation, let's put it that way, but we are still doing it all the time, even in the media, we all say that when the French were here, they stole a lot of silver from the churches, they didn't treat the Maltese well, and then the British came, and since then, both the British and the church don't look at the French with very positive eyes for what they did to Malta 200 years ago. What is your reaction to this, if you are aware of it?
I'm perfectly aware, especially this time. The first time I came to Malta, I didn't know Malta very well. Since I've been in this association, I've learned a lot. And so I look at Malta with a better eye, un œil plus averti. I see more things. I don't know if I can say it here, that Maltese historiography is a British historiography. And somebody told me 3 days ago, the Louvre is full of Maltese treasures. I was really astonished because the Louvre is full of Italian treasures and lots of Egyptian treasures and probably some Maltese treasures.
From all over the world.
I think that l'armée de Bonaparte and his army were cupid, interested by money and stupid, because they didn't have the right attitude, behavior, and even from an imperialistic point of view, they didn't do the right thing.
Which was the fashion in those days for all empires, more or less.
Yes, they didn't do the right thing. I think they did not understand what Malta was, and especially the relationship with their religion, which had been part of their identity, the relationship to the church. But first, the French didn't take everything. The second thing is that the knights, many were French, and they left wonderful things in this country. And the other thing is the Maltese don't like to think that the British Empire didn't look at them as British. And they don't want, for instance, a friend of ours who was born in Malta, a member of our association, when we told her that in the British Army, the Maltese were fourth rank with the Indians, she said it's not true, because she couldn't bear it. I'm very happy Malta is now independent. I'm very happy because it's a country which deserves to have its own government, its own thought and creativity of the Maltese today. I had a book in my hands, which is Cross Currents of Rafael Vella, about Maltese visual arts. It's incredible. Such a small country, 400,000 people, and such creativity. And also in the literary field, to which I'm specially attached, because I teach literature, teach French literature. So I'm very happy they're independent, and they have to build their own historiography. They have to see things in perspective. I think deeply that Malta is plein de ressources. It's a really resourceful country. And I think they can deal with the past.
It's only natural, most probably, that an independent country starts dealing with its past, with its art, and with its other resources. I thank you very much, merci bien, for l'interview. And I look forward to hearing more about the Cercle Vasali whenever you have something which is of interest also to our listeners, we would be very happy to carry it on this program as well.
And don't forget, as a Maltese, when you come to Paris, to be our guest.
Wemek dik l-istedina li xi darba bil-qalb kollha nagħmel is-serkl vassali ma nafu kif jiġri meta wieħed isifer jiena Pariġi mur mill-inqas darbtejn sena, ma nixtieq li issa verament naċċetta din l-istedina wara kollox. Madame Anne-Marie Montebello li kienet il-mistidna tagħna tal-lum ġiet hawnhekk aċċettat l-istedina tiegħek u għalhekk naħseb jiena rrid nirritorna lilna ż-żjara. Hemmhekk b'dak l-invit li jiena naċċettaħ fi żinkom għaliex jekk imur hemmhekk u niġi intervistata l-newsletter tagħhom ovvjament inkun qed nagħmilha fisem is-semmija kollha tagħna li jsegwu dawn l-intervisti għandna naslu biex nagħlqu il-programm tagħna tal-lum. Nifakkarkom li l-istiedna tagħna neħħejnilha il-kappell għaliex irrappreżentat il-mixja tal-emigrant Malti li fis-sekli 19-20 telaq gżiritna biex ifittex ix-xogħol biex jgħajjex il-familja tiegħu biex isib futur aħjar. U hemmhekk mar Tunezija, bħal ma kienet Madame Montebello, jew l-Alġerija, jiena fil-bidu net tal-programm semmejt ukoll l-Edwiċ Fenek, li hija bint sir Malti u twildet bona l-Alġerija. Ma li xejn iżjed xi ngħidilkom ħlief nistedinkom għall-edizzjoni tal-programm primiss il-ġimgħa d-diela b'intervista interessanti oħra u sakemm nerġgħu niltaqgħu bħal-utmittijiet minn naħa tiegħek xi qaxwira nsemmikom.